Brett Devine joins us from the Australian Turf Club. And Brett, Group 1 racing comes to an end tomorrow and you've got a big family sort of fun entertainment day to go along with that.
That's right, Andrew. Good morning to you. Good morning to all the punters and the families out there. Yeah, it's the last weekend of the autumn carnival. It's the last weekend of the school holidays. So what a great chance to get out to Royal Randwick. There's a lot of free entertainment. I guess that's the key word too, Ben. It's all for free. There's jumping castles for the kids from about 11 o'clock on the octagonal lawn. There'll be face painters, airbrush tattoo artists, an arts and crafts corner, all sorts of mascots roaming through, having great fun with the kids. Of course, all kids under the age of 18 are admitted free to Royal Randwick. So a good opportunity to wind down from the school holidays and not only see all the exciting stuff on the track, but get all that free entertainment with the kids. There's also a junior fashion stakes on the octagonal lawn. There's three divisions there, under 6, under 10 and under 15s, and winners receive family passes to Taronga Zoo. So again, another wonderful opportunity to have a real bit of fun there to celebrate the end of the carnival and enjoy those final weeks of the school holidays. Of course, all general admission tickets still get a 25% discount if they're booked online at theraces.com.au just before midnight tonight. So get onto that website, get your family passes. Kids are coming for free and great racing on the track, but just as much fun off it as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's plenty of entertainment there. And as you say, all that kid stuff from midday till four, it's all free of charge. You can get out there and enjoy it. And mum and dad can back a winner during those two group ones and all the other attractive races. Back to an 8-race card there tomorrow at Randwick. Good on you, Brett. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Good luck to everybody.
Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club. Don't forget, tomorrow is the last day of Star Stable for the autumn. I'm being well and truly left behind. We'll be announcing our Racing HQ Mini League winner on Tuesday, and they'll collect that $1,000 tab voucher. At the moment, there's a battle between Saintly Lodge, Tigger Lodge, Dantawin, and Inda Ninja. There's also Madman Lodge. Any of those could win. It just depends how they go tomorrow. But we'll announce our Racing HQ Mini League code winner on Tuesday morning. Simon Dinopoulos joins us from Racing and Sports. Morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed. 1.8 millimetres of rain this morning in that light drizzle. It's ceased at the moment, but still quite overcast. We're on a soft five as it stands right tomorrow. What have you found for us?
Yeah, Andrew, hopefully the rain does hold off, as you mentioned. So I think it is a good card at Randwick on Saturday. We'll kick off in the opening event with the Greg Hickman trained private secretary, a promising mare who has returned in fantastic order, notching up back-to-back wins at Warwick Farm last start. On both occasions, she has been a sectional star, having settled back in the field before unleashing a remarkable turn of foot. She is only lightly raced and is yet to miss the money in 9 career starts, saluting the judge on 6 occasions. She's unbeaten at her only prior attempt at Randwick and will have no concerns with the step-up in trip. Christian Reese sticks aboard. He's unbeaten aboard the mare in 2 attempts. Overall, the Hickman stable strikes at 16% with Galtas Racing third up. And she has drawn to receive all the favours with decent speed anticipated. Obviously, it is a step-up on Saturday. However, she looks more than capable. She does appear ahead of her mark to this point. I think she is the best bet of the day on Saturday. Race 1, number 6, private secretary.
Righto, that's race 1, number 6 for Greg Hickman. Where's the next one?
Move on to race 5, Andrew, the Group 3 JRA plate with Malice, progressive stayer from the John O'Shea camp, who returned in great order at Rose Hill last start when only narrowly beaten in the Doncaster prelude. He continued to raise the bar last preparation and returned a new career peak first up, which is a great sign moving forward. He's won 2 of 3 racing second up and should relish the step up in trip on Saturday. He's yet to miss the money in 2 prior attempts at 2,000 metres. And interestingly enough, this will be the first time James McDonald links aboard. The O'Shea stable is simply low-level flying at present, striking at 34% from their last 30 runners and is striking at 22% with McDonald engaged. From the good draw, he's likely to settle on the back of the speed, and I think he will prove very hard to hold out. Race 5, number 4, Malice.
Race 5, number 4, Malice for Godolphin. And the last of your trio tomorrow?
Yeah, race 7, the Group 3 Hallmark Stakes, arguably one of the races of the afternoon, with a number of gallopers looking to press their claims to the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Sticking with our boy Malachi, following 3 impressive performances to the Hawks camp last time in, He continued to raise the bar on each occasion and has since trialled very well off a break. He's only missed the money once in 18 career starts. He is simply a winner and he's unbeaten in three attempts over 1,200 metres. Tommy Berry links the board for the first time on Saturday, and this season he's striking at just shy of 20% with the Hawks camp. This season the Hawks camp is striking at 22% with Galtas Racing first up, and overall strikes at 35% with favourites. Under the conditions of the race, he does appear well placed, and I think he will prove hard to beat. Race number 7, number 10, Our Boy Malachi.
So the 3 for Simon Denopoulos, race 1, number 6, Private Secretary, then go across to race 5, number 4, Malice, and in the hallmark race 7, it's number 10, Our Boy Malachi. Good luck tomorrow, Simon.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. All the best. Cheers.
Simon Denopoulos from racingandsports.com.au. Something special was decided here 2 years ago. This might give you a hint.
Black Caviar completely in control. It's the Black Caviar of old, all right. Coming to the 200 metres, two to three lengths in front. Luke Nolan hasn't moved on her. It's awesome. She's clear then from Moment of Change and Golden Archer. But she's back and the legend lives on.
Black Caviar, she made the corner awkwardly, but Nolan said let's go, and coming to the 300, Black Caviar sprinted up on the outside of Hay Weston there, followed by Buffering, but Black Caviar is the leader. She got away from Hay West with 100 metres left to go. Start number 13, unlucky for some, not for this one. Black Caviar raced away and beat Hay West.
Rain Affair at the 300, but Black Caviar accelerates and the crowd go with her. At the 200, she races away. Black Caviar, 3 weeks, Rain Affair, Epaulette Bell Sprinter. But it's history at Royal Randwick. Black Caviar, 15 group ones. She is out of this world.
Yes, the memories of Black Caviar on this day 2 years ago. She was retired, but I reckon, Neil, where it is you listened to that, it was probably like yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly was, Andrew. Still gives you goosebumps every time I hear a recording of her winning. So, no, it's been great.
Mate, what's she up to? She's obviously in foal to Sebring right now.
Yep, yeah. She had the first filly... to exceed Nick Sale, and it's gone. It's going really well. It's been weaned now, so that happened a few weeks back, and I think she enjoyed the foal and looked after the foal really well. She was a bit, I suppose, missed it for a while, but typical of her, she moved on pretty quickly, and she still rules the roost of all the brood mares in the paddock. As she you'd expect it to do,
and with that with the Exceed and Excel, any similarities? We saw some photos, obviously, when she was born, but what about now?
No, she's not as dark as the mare. It's more a chestnut than a or a bay than a more the blackest side. So, and has more white on her than Black Caviar does. So, but you know, she still has the big backside, and she certainly moves around the paddock quite well. But you know, you never know until you get them out in the racetrack whether they're going to be fast. But all we know is she looks good. She's developed well, the filly, and everyone's happy with her.
No, that's fantastic, and definitely no change. Definitely not sold.
No, definitely not selling.
No, yeah, no. Understand. The Sebring, that'll be exciting later on this year.
Yeah, that's middle to late September.
Yeah,
all going well, and she, touch wood, has had no problems to date, and it's been a very normal pregnancy, and the mare's doing well. She's fairly dappled up, coming out of summer into autumn. She's really dappled up and looks great, in great condition.
Well, she gave us 25 unbelievable races. She was retired on this day 2 years ago, 2013. We thank you for coming on and giving us a bit of an update on the champion mare, Black Caviar, Neil.
Oh, anytime, Andrew. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Neil Werrett joining us there, one of the lucky owners of Black Caviar, and we'll watch for that progeny. Won't be in the future. The Exceed and Excel won't be far away as we say good morning to our breeding expert, Angus Rowland. Morning to you, Angus.
Morning, Andrew. Yeah, very exciting and probably a good thing that the horse isn't going through the sales ring. It's nice to see that they're sticking solid.
No, I just thought I knew what the answer would be, but if you don't ask, sometimes you don't know.
Well, there have been surprises. You know, yes. Tony Santic sold a few of the Divas.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, what's happening with $1 million filly?
Yeah, we got a little bit of an update to one of those $1 million yearlings from last week, Hoss. The Fastnet Rock filly from Menitou, lot 41, she sold for $1.3 million to the BBA Ireland for a partnership of European breeders. Her three-quarter sister has won the Nell Gwyn, the Group 3 lead up to the 1,000 Guineas in Europe. Osyla, a Danehill Dancer three-quarter to this filly. The mare has obviously been exported to Australia since foaling Osyla. And is now living full-time at Coolmore Down Under and has been covered by Fastnet Rock several times. But what an update. And if this filly goes on to win the 1,000 guineas, that $1.3 million might even look cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And look, staying overseas, we know that Star Stangle Banner is back down in Victoria, but his progeny is still doing the right thing over in Europe.
They certainly are, and he wasn't able to shuttle out to Coolmore as they planned due to a little bit of colic, would you believe, after all of his other issues, as Anthony Mithen revealed on Autumn Live last week. But he's covering mares to Northern Hemisphere time, and he got another update overnight when Home of the Brave won the listed European free handicap over 1,400 metres. It's a lead up to the 2,000 guineas for the colt, and he led from go to woe, and in the process he gave a good spanking to the second favourite for the guineas before the race, Faydan, who could only manage a labouring third. From an Australian angle, this one was actually bought by Justin Bayan and Troy Causton at Arcana's 2013 yearling sale. So a bunch of Australian investors, including David Moody and Michael Ramsden, are in this colt, and his price has been slashed from 50 to 1 into 12 to 1 in the markets over there for the 2,000 guineas. Our 2,000 guineas market is just suspended at the moment following last night's action. And as I say that, it's actually just come up again. And I'm just looking for Home on the Brave now. The favourite for the 2,000 guineas is Glen Eagles at $3.40. But Home on the Brave, get on him because he's certainly had a big update recently.
Righto. As we reported earlier in the week, Clusters off to a Victorian stud.
Yeah, Larnach stud. Neville Murdoch's assembling a nice little roster of stallions at that sort of breed-to-race end of the market. He's got Olonro, and I love this city down there, and he's secured Cluster for this season. He's a son of Fastnet Rock, and I think, Hoss, you'd agree, he was one of those horses with untapped ability.
Yeah, yeah.
He took a long time to break his maiden, then they gave him an easy kill at Kembla Grange. He won by nearly 10.
Yeah.
And then it was onwards and upwards from there. He won a Theo Marks, and he was probably a Group 1 winner that never quite got that Group 1 next to his name. So $6,600 for a Fastnet Rock of his ability from the family of Diamond Jim, Novikov and Inkling, it would seem like a fairly good price.
For sure. Bred to win over the weekend. Further summaries of the Inglis Easter sale.
Yeah, we'll continue our look back at Easter. We'll have a look at how those first crop sires go and what a group of first crop stallions it was. Sepoy, Smart Missile, So You Think, Fox Wedge, a fantastic bunch of young sires. They sold particularly well. And we'll also have a little feature on historic Queensland property Canning Downs, and that kicks off any tick of the clock. So my advice to your listeners is listen to Tab Talk and have Bred to Win on mute and enjoy the pretty pictures.
Yeah, they are pretty pictures for sure. Good on you, mate. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.